בפיוט גימור. כי אומרת מוקטעץ אני, והוא אומר לא, כי על הדרוסת נשמעת. Now, until now, we have discussed various possibilities of the different ta'anot. Okay, so we've talked about, first of all, we've talked about what the din would be if she is a mukatez. So if we had a major machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim as to whether the shear of a mukatez is equivalent to a bitulah, as Rabbi Meir says, or equivalent to a bitulah, as the Chachomim have. Furthermore, within those shitas, we've had a machlokas amoroyim about whether lo hikirba, whether the din would be, according to the Rabbanan, if he didn't know she was a mukatez, whether nonetheless the din would be that she gets mana, or then he can tie it as a mekachos. That was also a question. And we also had a bachlokus about what the din was if he expected that she had been a betula and she turned out to be nivelet. That also wasn't clear, whether she just goes down from 200 to 100 or she loses it all. So all of these things basically have been up in the air. Then we got into questions about if she has an explanation, whether she is believed or not. And that was a machlokas Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Whether we say lo mipia anu chayin, or whether in a case where he's always going to be tining Shema, since he doesn't know, and she's going to be tining Bori, that maybe we believe her because Bori v'Shema Bori Yodiv. And, of course, that involved further complications, because it wasn't only an issue of Bori v'Shema, but there were also better tainas that she could have said. She could have said, I'm a mukateitz tachtecha, perhaps. Instead of saying that I was anusa, certainly a lot nicer. Plus, she has a chazaka. And then because of that, we already spread out to discuss the issues of Bori v'Shema in general. When it comes to Mominus, where a person doesn't have a chazaka, doesn't have a migur, we've had some pretty complicated issues, and we need to make them a bit more complicated. Because we haven't discussed yet what the din is in terms of her ne'emanut when she says, I'm a mukaseitz. Where over there already she doesn't necessarily have a migur at all. We're saying mukaseitz is the best tainah she could possibly come up with anyway. Okay, so let's talk about that. Now, instead of the previous case where she was saying it's true, I was an invalid, but it was a rape, and it was after we married, and therefore it's your bad luck. This time, she says that it's true, you did not find me to be a betula, but that's because I was a mukat eitz. Now, what does that mean? Not clear. Does that mean I was a mukat eitz, therefore you can't be mafsid, be maksuda completely? Or does it mean I was a mukat eitz, therefore I still get 200? And if we hold like Rabbi Meir, we're going to have to, it isn't clear what they're arguing about. Let's see. That's why I mentioned all the previous things, because we're going to need to now go back and see how this works out of Liba Doshitas. But in any event, she's Tainas Shemukasets, and he says, Lo, Kela Drusat Ish. I don't want to assume the worst. And why should I assume the best? Obviously, he doesn't know. But he's saying, You're Drusat Ish. See, here too, we have a Machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Gamliel, the Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim, Ne'emenet. In this case, she is also believed. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo mi pio anu chayim. Truth is not coming out of her mouth that's supporting the world. No reason to assume that she's telling the truth. She's got to prove that she was really a mukat eitz. So the first thing we need to do before we understand the sforas is to figure out the case. What exactly were they arguing about? What were the two positions? What was his position and her position? In practical terms, forget about what happened. What's the bottom line? How much money is involved over here? So, Rabbi Yochanan says the question over here is they're arguing about whether she gets matayim. She's tining as a mukat eitz, I get matayim. And he's tining, no, you only get a mona because you're a drusat ish. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, oh, no, no, no. He's tining, you get nothing. And she's tining, I get a mona. So Rabbi Elazar Omer b'mana v'lo klum. Now let's try to figure out what that means. Each tzad, Rabbi Yochanan, who says b'matayim u'mana, that they're arguing about whether I get 200 or he says you get 100. So obviously he holds savalak Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, remember, his shita was that ben hikirba ben lo hikirba matayim. According to Rabbi Meir, a mukat eitz is essentially a betula. No, nothing that is chaser to a mukat eitz. Therefore, whether he knew about it, he didn't know about it, makes no difference from before, whether it was after, it never makes any difference. She is basically a betula. So therefore, she is saying, I'm a mukat eitz, and I get 200. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Amaona, the mona below klum. So he obviously holds like the Rabbanan, but he holds like the tzad in the Rabbanan that say, ben hikirba, ben lo hikirba, mona. that no matter, remember that was Machlokas, but no matter whether he knew or not, even if he didn't know, he still is going to be Mukhuyev, a ksuva of 100. Now, it's clear why Rabbi Elazar did not want to say Rabbi Yochanan's pshat, because Rabbi Yochanan is making the Mishnah work out only by the Rabbi Meir. Why should we say the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, where they're arguing about 200 versus 100, so then obviously it's only the taina of 200 if Rabbi Meir is right, and the Mishnah wouldn't make any sense if it was going on Levi the Chachomi. So Rabbi Elazar doesn't want to make the Mishnah be a dat yachid, where before we had a machlokas already, we saw there was a dat rabim shalok Rabbi Meir. So that's okay. I would never ask why he didn't want to agree like to Rabbi Yochanan. So Bishleim Rabbi Elazar lo kamek Rabbi Yochanan dekamuki like Rabbana. He would like the Mishnah to work out a Levi the Rabbana. What pushes Rabbi Yochanan to learn the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir? Ela Rabbi Yochanan my time lo amar ki Rabbi Elazar. Ah, you see, that's because he holds kasavar kansabe cheskat betula v'nimtzei beula. He holds in terms of the previous machlokas. We saw there was a machlokas, what the din is if he thought she was a betula and she wasn't. There's no discussion about the fact she wasn't a betula. She'd actually been a beula. So there we had a machlokas. Does she get? Can he taina? It's a mikri mekach ta'ut. He doesn't get anything. Or do we say the way Kol Gedolei Le'Adar say Mekach Ta'ut only meant it goes down from 200 to 100? His shita, Rabbi Yochanan, is that the halacha is that she gets a morning. So then I can't possibly learn that it's going Alibi the Rabbanan, because then they're both saying the same thing. If she's saying I'm a Mukat 8, so what she's saying, if I hold like the Rabbanan, I get a morning. He's saying you're a Bu'ula, so what's he saying? You get a morning. So what are we arguing about exactly? Right. So I can't learn that that's it. Can't possibly be going like the Rabbanan, therefore. So Memela, Halcha, the bottom line would be that Huka Amar Mana Vehika Amar Mana. They're both saying Mana just for different reasons. So my Ikebein Ta'anadi Deila Ta'anadi Da. What in the world would be the Machlokas for Gamaliel Rebbe Eliezer, who we believe? Who cares who we believe? They're both saying the same thing. So therefore he's forced to say, because he's committed to his opinion that the Halacha is that Kansa, thinking she's a Betula and she's a Be'ula, she still gets money. He has no way of working the Mishnah to leave the Rabbanan. It can only be going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Okay, so now let's take a look according to these two shitas, Rabbi Elazar's approach and Rabbi Yochanan's approach, and try to figure out what the point is of listing this Mishnah. Because, I mean, l'chora, we've already exhausted the questions of who we believe for the previous Mishnah. To repeat the Mishnah in terms of Mukat 8, I mean, what exactly do we gain? They were arguing the previous Mishnah about whether she was Nivela Tachtav or Nivela before. I mean, is this case really fundamentally different? There's something substantial that's between the two cases, and we got to figure out which Shita holds what in terms of the repetition of the Mishnah. Because this is the exact same Mishnah, exact word for word. Lomi Fiyanu Chayin, that man is exactly the same thing. So why do we list it twice? So Bishleim of Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Elazar, aha, so he's learning that the machlokas over here is whether you get a mana or nothing. And that's basically, if the Mishnah is meant to work out a Levi Rabbanan, that's the only way we can understand it. But they're arguing about a mana and nothing. Well then, there is an awful lot of news in this Mishnah, if that's the case. Because, Haini Diktani, Choda Lafuke Min Rami Bar Choma, the Choda Lafuke Min Rebchia Bar Avi. Remember that before we had Rami Bar Choma's opinion that by the Mukat 8, that Lohi Kirba, she doesn't get anything. Right? Okay, so, and he's saying this Mishnah is clearly saying not like that. I mean, if she's tying Mukat 8, she's obviously saying I get something. So the reason for this Mishnah is basically we need to know that that's wrong. And that definitely she does get something that we see. Otherwise, what's her point of saying? I'm a mukaseit. Furthermore, we had Reb Chiya Bar Avin who tainted that comes of Becheskas Besula, and it turns out she's a Be'ula, Yesh Laksuva Mana. But that's not possible, because if that were the case, then they'd both be saying the same thing. So we see from this Mishnah now, also, that's not true either. And that actually, she would get nothing. So Memela, we need to know, basically, the Mishnah that says Mikri Mekach Ta'ut. That was our diak before. That Mikri Mekach Ta'ut shows us, that's the meaning, Mekach Ta'ut, you don't, that basically you don't get anything. Not that you get a mana. So that I would already know from that Mishnah. comes along now, this Mishnah, to add, yeah, but if she says that I am a mukaseit, she's stating that she does get something. And therefore, Rami Bar Chava is also wrong. So I need to know both of these Mishnayos because each one makes something clear. No. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand what the point is. Elul Rabbi Yochanan, Tarki Lamali. According to Rabbi Yochanan says, anyway, Kansa Becheskas Besula, Venim says Beula, he's saying that's the point in this Mishnah, that she does get a Ksuva Mana. So how does he understand the words Mekach Ta'ut in the other Mishnah? The way Rav Amram and Kol Gadol Yadar understood it, Mekach Ta'ut, meaning I never meant to give her 200, I only meant to give her 100. Right? So then you're repeating it. It says that before. In other words, you're not really adding over here anything. So what's the point now of repeating? What's the point of saying the two Mishnayos? He says very simple. Choda lo diach hakokot Rav Namliel. Choda lo diach hakokot Rav Yeshua. But basically, the first Mishnah, Kamaita, is coming to tell me lo diach hakokot Rav Yeshua. In the first Mishnah, she has a better time. She could have said that I was a mukat eitz. Instead, she's mezalzel in herself to say she was the victim of a rape. What she had to say that for? She could have taina that I'm a mukaseitz. So since she didn't, I would have thought, so look, I mean, okay, over there, Rabbi Yeshua would certainly agree. I mean, if she's got a migul, kamashvan, Rabbi Yeshua says, we pay no attention to her migul or no migul. Now, even with, together with the Bari Vashama, lomi pianu chayim, that's the kiddush. I need to know that case. Okay? Even with the migul. On the other hand, but right, at this case, but the mukat eitz, where she's already saying the absolute maximum she could say. This is her best possible time. I was a mukaseit, she gives me saying, makes no nafkabinish, she's saying mukaseit tachtach, a mukaseit, what's the same halach anyway, she gets my time. She can't say anything better. So therefore, I would have said, okay, I'm real in that case, why should he believe her? She doesn't have a migul, maybe Bari Vashem isn't enough to believe her in. So Kalev comes along initially to tell me, the Afa God, the Lekala Meim Amigo. In this case, there's no better time that she could have said. Nonetheless, Mehemna. I just want to remind you that this creates a little bit of havoc with yesterday's Gemara. Because yesterday's Gemara, the thing that we were using, if you recall, to say, why do we need both cases for the Bari Vashema by Amun and Mominus, is because maybe there's Amigo. What, are we ignoring the next Mishnah? Maybe there's Amigo. So in Rechinami, Tosfos said, I mean, we could have just said, oh, come on, I mean, the same thing is true even if there were no Migul. Rabbi Gamliel would have said, don't tell me that the reason Rabbi Gamliel said over here, Bari Vashem, is because of Migul. We know in the next mission that's not true. Says Tosfos, not necessarily. Because it's only Alibi Rabbi Yochanan. But remember that before, it was not only Rabbi Yochanan, it was Rabbi Nachman, and Rabbi Yochanan Nachman never said over here that he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of this Mishnah. So in the Mela, it's true, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we would have had to stick with the Chazaka approach. But the Gemara wants to point out, Alibi Rabbi Nachman, you also have to take into consideration that there was a Migul. Because he may learn like Rabbi Lozer in this Mishnah. There's nothing innate in Rabbi Nachman's approach over there that says otherwise. I didn't really know. Our president is still missing. It looks like we're going to have J.R. You'll have to do Zot the Air Commissioner. Can you do Zot the Air Commissioner? He could do it, but he's Sanua. That was Esther's approach. Every time Achashverosh asked her, so what is your name? That's what she did. What's he going to do? Zot the Air Commissioner. Ra'ua midaberet im echad. We see her speaking with somebody. Now, it's not clear what that means. I mean, speaking could be a euphemism, speaking could be nasty speaking, speaking could be like, okay, we're going to see what that means. The Amrula, so we ask her, Mati lo shel ish zeh, what is that guy? Oh, this guy, he's a great guy, he's a Kohen. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer omrim ne'emenes, and Rabbi Yeshua omer lo mipianu Kohen. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, she is psula lekahuna, as if she had slept with a natin or a mamzer, and we don't believe her when she says this guy is a very miyuchas human being. How about I tell me uberet? How about if she's pregnant? Now there's no two ways about understanding what happened, and therefore, you'd think that over here, maybe Rabbi Gamliel is now ready to say, well, let's bite the bullet and say that there's a problem. So they ask her, Mativa shel uber zeh. Now, wait a minute over here. Where did this fetus come from? So she says, ah, miish ploni bekoinu. This is like, this is a super fetus. He's absolutely the best.
Well, great.
It's what happens when you start, you can't finish. So, what's the halacha? Says Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Ne'emenes. Rabbi Yeshua says, lo mi pion uchoyin, harei ze becheskat mumberet l'natin l'mamzer, ad shetavira ayah l'dvareha.
Why we need both of these clauses and how it ties into all of the cases before, we're going to have to see.
So first of all, let's figure out what the case was. We see her talking. What is that supposed to mean, midaberet? My midaberet. Ziri says midaberet means nistra. Basically, midaberet in the sense of actually some learn that midaberet may mean over miduberet, which is a lashon yadbera mim tachtenu from today's tefillah. So in other words, the guy's dragging her along a little bit, taking her, maybe she's a little reluctant where to go, so we figure everybody knows what they're tippy-toeing down there for. Maybe that's the shot. Or midaberet could mean she's speaking in a very non-sneous fashion, like a streetwalker. So we are getting very suspicious. It's a lashon of nistra. And we have a reason to believe that something happened between them. So Ziri says it's enough, even though we did not see actually that she was Niveles, nonetheless she becomes Psula according to Rabbi Yoshua. Why that would be true is, I mean, that's already a tremendous chiddush. We're going to assume that the very fact that she was Nisteret, she becomes Psula Kuna. We're talking about over here Pnuya. I mean, why in the world would she become Psula Kuna? That we'll see. Ravasi says, no, Midaberet means Niveles. Not just we'll see later on, it's a Lashon Nikiya. Now Bishleim is Ziri, Hainu Diktani Midaberet. According to Ziri, it doesn't want to say Nivelet, so it makes it very clear. It's only Midaberet. But according to Ravasi, why does it say Midaberet? That's because Lishna Ma'alya. We see that the use of a euphemism in terms of mouths, it's eating or speaking, is used for sexual activity. Kidiksiv Ochla Umochata Piha. So here, referring over here to a Zayna, so or to an Isha, an Ashes Ish, who's now sleeping with somebody. So she eats and she wipes her mouth and she says, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, so we see that as a euphemism, takes the mouth as a point of departure. She's saying with a Barrett in the same sense. So now, Bishleim is Ziri. Okay, according to Ziri, we have two cases, right? We have a case of Midaberet, where we don't know that there was any relationship between them. We're just assuming. And then we have a case of Mu'uberet, which will be hard for us to explain any other way. So I understand we have two dinim in the mission. So I need to tarte, Midaberet, and Mu'uberet. So Midaberet, I guess, comes to tell me that even though it's only Midaberet, Rabbi Yeshua still says that we have to be chayish for the yichus over here of her marriage to a kohen, and she's going to be psula. And Mu'uberet is to tell me that even though she clearly had slept with somebody, but according to Rabbi Gamliel, she's still kshera. Okay? That's very clear why I need two cases. But according to the way Ravasi is learning, what in the world is the point of saying Midaberet and Mu'uberet if Midaberet itself means that she was Nivelet? I don't understand. You don't know any better than you do by the case of Mu'uberet. Getarti Lomali. Oh, here we get into a whole new issue. Because if she's Mu'uberet, then obviously we're opening the question as to who the fetus is, not what her status is. And there's a big, big difference between determining her status and the halacha of the fetus. Because when it comes to the mother, we have a cheskes kashrus. But when it comes to the fetus, she appeared in the world under a cloud. And it wasn't the Anani HaKovet either. So Mamela, that means we've got sveikas from the beginning. So there was never a time in which we had a chazaka of kashrus on this blood. So this opens up the question about whether the chazaka of the mother helps for the daughter, or whether we need to establish the halacha separately for each one of them. In other words, this obviously touches the underlying mechanisms of chazaka. In other words, is it possible for us to say that, look, I mean, the chazaka is basically an abstraction. As far as the halacha is concerned, you're not going to say because the psak of the mother is X, therefore the child has to follow the same din, where there never was a reason for us to paskin X on the child. It's certainly not telling us the fact that the mother is kshera. It's just telling us that we're going to assume kashrus. Okay, and then the question is, and why is an assumptive kashrus not sufficient to kashrus the child? But in any event, you can see that there's a whole can of worms that's opened here by adding this one simple additional case of Mu'uberet, because we've now got another psak halacha that we're going to have to determine. Is this child kshera lekuna? she's tining the father was a wonderful kohen, so she'd certainly be muteris to marry a kohen. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying, as far as we're concerned, she's the child of the mamzer. There's definitely asura de kohuna. Okay, and I understand now why I would need chod al hakshir ba v'chod al hakshir bebita. So according to Rav Asi, einach inami, we need one case to tell me that according to Rabbi Gamliel we're matir her, but then we need the other case to tell me that we're also matir the child as well. But Rav Asi would say that if midaberet only meant nisteret, then Rabbi Yeshua would never have said to say we can't believe her. Why can't we believe her? If she's saying that I was nivela to a kosher, and he's a great guy, she could easily have said, I wasn't nivela at all. What's the matter with you dirty-minded old men? I was talking to him about my tax returns. So instead she says, no, it's true I was nivela, I got to be honest, but he's a kohen. So she has a ego. So according, therefore, Rav Asi Tainis, that according to Rabbi Gamliel, according to Rabbi Yeshua would never have argued about the case of midaberet. He would only argue about a case of nivelat. I'm not willing to go there. Ayo Taina asks Taisus, but Rabbi Gamliel already, Rabbi Yeshua already argued about a case with his amigo, and Rabbi Yeshua wasn't impressed with amigo. True, says Taisus, but that's not much of amigo. It's a psychological amigo, but it's not a better Taina, really, legally. Over here, it's a fantastic Taina, legally. What, we have absolutely no reason to think that she was nivelat. There she's agreeing, yes, it's true, and absolutely, and so on. Okay, the nafkamina, there's no serious nafkamina between the two Tainas. So that's not considered. That's not considered to be a real migo, a full migo. Okay. What better? We see the next Mishnah. If she would say mukadetzani, we'd believe her. No, according to Rabbi Yeshua. So what's she going to say? She had a better taina. She could have said mukadetzani. We wouldn't believe her. To say, but it's a better taina. At least she doesn't have to be mezalzel in herself. That's not okay. I mean, but that's not a migo in din. Then, of course, famous Achreinish discussions about how migu works, whether it gives you the kayach of the taina that you would have in the din, or whether it's because of the because of your psychology, would have wanted to take the better taina. So, okay, these are sort of the first things that flit across your mind. But you know, there may be other issues as well, but you see immediately the type of things that are not yet.
I mean, you're talking about the blood being female.
Yeah, there's no tzad to say that because she says the blood is a kayin, that therefore we're going to allow him to do aveda. We'll see later on. Because even if we know a blood is a coin, we don't allow him to do avayda. In cases of zinus. If you remember, Zaro Acharav by Pinchas, we need to have Zaro Miyuchas Acharav. So the issue over here, as we're going to see, is really whether she's Kshera to marry the Kuna, or according to some, if she's Kshera, could be Kshera even for Achilles Truman. Because there's a machlok, it's a big machlok, about whether Zaro Miyuchas is true only Lagabe Avayda, or it's true even Lagabe Achilles Truman. That's a machlok, as we're showing. But we'll see soon a little bit. All right, so once again, let's review what we have over here. Two possible approaches to the Mishnah. Either the Mishnah is talking about two cases where we know that she was nivelas. One is to talk about her status, and one is to talk about the child's status. But if we hadn't known that she was nivelas, according to Rav Asi, even... Let me just go in there. She doesn't have to be in there right now, I don't think. Yeah, okay. So, according to Rav Asi, if in fact we didn't know that she was nivelet, so then there would be no reason for us to say that Rabbi Yeshua would argue. Because Rabbi Yeshua is made an amigu gomor, where she says, I wasn't nivelet, that we don't have to worry about. We can actually trust her. According, however, to Zairi, Rabbi Yeshua is never made, even in cases of amigu like that, where she could have said, I wasn't nivelet. And therefore, the reason for the two cases is very obvious. The two cases, one is where there wasn't even the amigu. And one is to tell me the Chiddush Alibi the Rav Gamliel, that she's believed even where she obviously was nivelet because she's pregnant. And the other one is probably the Chiddush Alibi the Rabbi Yeshua, that she's not nemenet even where we have very little basis for the church, she was only nisteret, which is a big Chiddush. Why is that true? That we're going to have to see. What's the basis of such a thing? And how do all of a sudden we come to the conclusion we're going to possibly? Okay. So now, let's take a look, according to the Tushitas, how it fits in with what we said on Zomar. Rav Asi, we're saying, is telling us that we need to have two cases, one to tell me that your kosher, the bat is kosher. But wait, we know that there's a machlok is coming up very soon about whether the Dibre HaMakshir Bo is also Makshir Bebita. Aliba the Rabbi Gamliel, would he be Makshir the child? I mean, if you're telling me the only reason it says in the Mishnah the second case is to tell me that we help we use the chazaka, the mother, for the child, so then how could anybody argue on it? That's the whole point of the Mishnah, no? So, if you're going to tell me that the mandiyomer who holds that she's chair at Rabbi Gamliel is makshir also the daughter, okay, so you can learn the Mishnah like that. But if you hold the mandiyomer, the divrei hamakshir, but posel bibita anyway, so then it's not even true what he's saying. He's giving us an explanation of the Mishnah that's not correct, because the truth is we would not be makshir bibita. He's saying the only reason that it's saying the extra case is to tell me that we are makshir bibita. Says the Gemara, Rav Asi obviously holds Kimandi Omar, the Divya Makshaba Makshabita, which is why he learns the Mishnah like this. He's understanding that indeed that's the obvious shot, and that Mamela, we have two cases, but Daf get to tell me that's the Mishnah. Omalay with Papala Abaya. I want to understand something, says Rav Papa. According to Ziiri, Ziiri says that Midaberet means that she's Nisteret. So we have no reason to believe that she was Nivelet Bichlal. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, lo mehemna. So in other words, she becomes psula based on stira alone. Now it happens to be that we have a well-established psak by Rav, or Omar Rav, malkina la yichud, veino srina la yichud. We will give someone makas margus for going into yichud with a guy, but we will certainly not asur a woman on her husband just because she was alone with somebody. So why over here are we posseling her? I thought we don't possel people based on such a thing. We're not going to possel her for her husband. Why would we possel her for the kuhuna? Oh, now, says the Gemara, now you're talking. Are you going to say that Rav Sack is bathed not like Rabbi Yeshua? No. Afilu tema Rabbi Yeshua. All Rabbi Yeshua is saying, Yeshua obviously is not including this in the whole list of cases that we said before, of the Lomi Pi Anuchoyin, where you have serious chashash. Over here, the truth is she does have a migu. We don't really have her. We don't know what we're talking about. And nonetheless, we're passing her. What's the reason for that? The reason is because ma'ala asu biyuchasu. It's only because, just as we saw in the previous sugya yesterday, it's amazing because it comes right in the middle. We introduced this sugya with the sugya of the kuhuna and that they were mishpachot biyuchasot, that they asked more of an exiva. And we lead directly into this approach of the Mishnah, which I leave it to Rabbi Yeshua. The only reason that we're being machmir, the pasul of the kuhuna, is because of a special chavivus that we have for yuchasin, and we make takonas to make yichus more and more valuable. So you're telling me, despite the fact that this woman may be believed to say she was an evelistic shero with a migu, that's not good enough when it comes to the kuhuna. It may be good enough for other things, but not. It's simply not the prime kedusha that we'd like to see in Yisrael. And therefore, we'll say for the kuhuna, she's already psua. We see her go in alone. Now the Seder is clear that the idea of here is Yichud. And so we see her being alone with somebody. Ola churva, or we see her going into a churva. Now, it would seem that the difference between the two cases is that the Seder means that she's alone in a place that is not suggestive necessarily of intimacy. She's alone in the office with somebody. To come meet somebody in a churv, an abandoned building, is awfully suspicious. I mean, the whole point of going and meeting somebody in the churv would be like going into Motel 7. In our terms, that's a churv. What do you think it's there for? What are they meeting for? There's only one purpose of meeting. So, va'omrula mati vocha lizeh, and here the Bryce has a slightly better explanation she gives. She says, not only is it Kohen, he's my cousin. The old excuse of Beis Yaakov. The guy's my cousin. It's the oldest excuse in the book, right? He's Ben Achi Avahu, he's my uncle's son. So then what? So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omri, him again, Ne'emena. Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, Lomi Pion, Uchoyin, Yilar Rezuba, Cheskat, Be'ulal, Anatina, Lamamzer, Ach, Tavira, Yalit, Horeon. Fine, okay, on the surface, this doesn't add much to what we know from the Mishnah. However, if we're going to be medayik, the two cases, Seter and Churva, we come up with some interesting diyukim. Because look, Bishleim al Zikiri, Zayni, Vixani, Tansi, Seter, or Lechurva. Okay, so according to Zikiri, where we're ready to distinguish between cases where it was only Nistera, or cases where the assumption is that she's an Ivelis. So okay, I understand that I have two different cases over here. This is basically the equivalent of the case that we had earlier, of Midaberet being just, you know, say, sir, And then we have the other case where she's miuberes, which definitely was nivelet, which is the equivalent of the case over here of going into a churva. But according to Ravasi, Ravasi learns that the Sefer has to mean nivelet, and that we wouldn't have passed her even according to Rabbi Yeshua just because she was nisteret. So he's going to have to learn that Sefer means that we have grounds to believe that she was nivelet in the Sefer. So I understand. So then what's the two cases over here? Tartar Lomeli. Well, Ravasi will have to say that, no, it's one case. It means L'Sefer V'Churva. One case. She went into a very suspicious location, and that's already the equivalent of nivelet. Yeah, that's all very nice, except for the fact that that's not what it says, which is always something of a problem. I mean, it says L'Sefer O'L'Churva. And what are we going to do with that unfortunate word O? I mean, we'd like to get rid of it, but it keeps coming back. So what happens? Well, the truth is that they're both churvas. One is talking about a churva in town, and one is talking about a churva out of town. Both of them are hopelessly suspicious, and it's vadai that we were assuming over here that she's nivelas. That's not just the case of nisteret. Actually, you'll say, so what's the point of the two cases? I'll tell you what the point is. It's really, I still need two cases, because yashminu churva de mata. If it only would have said the case of a churva in town, I might have thought that maybe the reason Rav Gamliel is makshir is mishum derov ksherim etzla. You could, I mean, we don't know that, but we could say, if I wanted to, I could, you don't want to just tell it to please leave, this is a Beit HaKnesset, b'vakasha, let's say, t'lo matom stam l'shevet. There's other places where they go outside. What am I supposed to do with him? There are holes you will. So therefore, I could say, why is it that Rabbi Yamil is Makshir? Because maybe when it's talking about she went into a churva, it's talking about she went into a churva in a town where most of the people were Jews, kosher, Akol Beseder, and there'd be no problem. I mean, I can't prove that, but I could certainly say it. So now I have to clarify, okay, but what about a case of the churva, which is a churva de Makshir? I mean, Akurva the Dabra, we're over there, it's like anybody could be there. She's in the middle of the turnpike somewhere. That's a Motel 7 that there's absolutely no way for me to justify saying most of the people there are kosher for her, right? So that's Ruba the Alma. Okay? So therefore, I need to have two cases. Akurva the Dabra, the rope still in Mitzvah. So maybe even Rabbi Gamliel would be made it to Rabbi Yeshua. We've got such a suspicious situation. And like 99% of the people over there are apostle. If we're going to apostle her, so then in our Kanami, we should assume the worst. On the other hand, if you only would have told me the case of the churba, which was out in the turnpike, so Bayikomer Rabbi Yeshua, maybe Rabbi Yeshua is only saying this halacha because of the fact that Roy Verpsuli, Avo Baha, and Amade Rabbi Gamliel. Maybe in the other case, he would be made to Rabbi Gamliel, and we would say that it's Taka Kasha. Therefore, Tzrich, I need to have both of these cases. Okay, so far, I'm unable to prove either Ravasi or Ze'iri right from the additional information that's given to me in the price. Next. Zo edut shayishak sheirala. Now, the Brisa takes the case of the woman who says, I was developed, but it was through a Kohen, and so on, and adds the words, this is something that a woman has believed, to tell us who it is that was the person who was by her. And Rabbi Yoshua says, Einan ne'emenet. Okay. Here's where it gets interesting. So the first time we have a conversation between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, in which they explain their positions one to another. So Amarlan Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeza, let me ask you something. Talk about a case where a woman was in captivity with Goy. And Yeshua Dimshu Nishbeit. There's witnesses to this. Not that she came along and she said, I was Nishbeit, but nothing happened. We know she was Nishbeit, okay? And if she would come along and she would say, Tohora Ani, are you going to believe her? Don't you agree that in under a minute, Amrulo Aval? Absolutely. Oh, he says, oh, you do agree, huh? So my fresh benzolazo. I says, so then what's the difference? If you're ready to agree that when we see suspicious circumstances, a woman is in captivity, that we're going to assume that she's nivelet. So then the same thing is true. If we see her alone with the guy, that it's suspicious. So the answer, I don't understand. Why is it the same? Lezer yesh edim, lezer ein edim. I don't understand. If we have witnesses that she was in captivity with kidnappers, that's the equivalent, basically, of saying that she was nivelet. I understand, what are the chances of her not being nivellet? It's almost inconceivable that she shouldn't be nivellet. She's sitting there with a bunch of goyim. She's been captured by them. I mean, why wouldn't they take advantage of her? So the aedis that we have that she was in captivity is the equivalent, basically, of testimony to the fact that she was nivellet. Obviously, over there we're made up, that there's nothing more to be said. But I mean, over here, where's the aedim? Amar Lahem, says Rabbi Yeshua, says, where's the aedim? Where's the aedim? Her stomach's between her teeth. Where's the aedim? How much do I have to explain to you guys? There's a stomach between her teeth where you're pretending not to see it. I mean, she's obviously was nivellus to somebody. Now, you're telling me she was nivellus to somebody that you agreed. Aval, you say, oh, absolutely. How come over you're not absolutely? I understand what the difference is. Amrulo, so they said to him, well, rov avdei kochavim putim ba'arayotem. Now, at this point, the conversation breaks down. You have no idea how that answers this question. The Gemara is going to ask this in a moment. But something happened here. Now, obviously, we're missing something. So they say, well, no subject of Adam of Putin. And he says something even less comprehensible back to them. He says, well, in apotropis la raya. Okay, we'll have to see what that means. Furthermore, the edut isha begufa. How will I do it? Isha bebita divyakol avalat shtuki. Another very important thing. As we were saying that she's by menace, even a gabi the vlad. Here it says beferish not like that. Where would we say that she's by menace? That's back when it comes up to herself, whether she's chair or lacuna. But when it comes to a child, everybody agrees that the vlad is a shtuk, which sure sounds like it's saying that we have to be chayish, that she was nevelis of the latino imams of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel wouldn't be saying that the chazaka on her helps with a child. Now, what? My karma or my karma? I don't understand what's going on. What did he say to them and what were they answering him? The whole part didn't make sense from the point where we started talking about both the Kachavim, Fruits, and Barayas. No, here's the piece that's missing. I mean, it's obvious. He says, hey guys, did you notice her stomach between her teeth? Okay, so obviously their response to that would be, hold on a second, there were two cases. Only in one of the cases was a stomach between the teeth. The other case was Ruhu Medamberet. And why are we talking about the stomach between our teeth? I mean, let's talk about the sheet across the board. I mean, obviously, you're not coming up with the real approach. You're being condescending. What are you really saying? Because it isn't dependent on having Kresa Benchina. So what they said, therefore, was, look, it's all very nice. Hey, Shaftanu Ala Mu'uberet. Good. So you've given us an answer that we're expected to respond to about the Mu'uberet. You're telling us, well, isn't the case of the Mu'uberet the same as the case of the Shvuya? Because basically, in both cases, we know that she was nivellus. That's what you asked, okay? The truth is, we're not impressed. Well, see, the reason that we're not impressed with the comparison is because there's obviously a tremendous difference to a woman who is being gang-raped by a bunch of Ozei Kechavim to a woman who's being mezana and can choose who it is that her partner is. I mean, if she could choose, she could also say, I chose the best. And what's really the comparison? So that's, technically speaking, that's called Isha Mizana Bodeket or Mizana. She says, let's just get into bed with anybody. So why can't she say that I chose a really great guy? But, so we're not even impressed with that case. But forget about that case, because you're not really talking about the Mishnah the way the Mishnah is. How about the other case in the Mishnah? Not that Shivenu Ala Medaberet. What are you going to answer us about the case of Ra'ua Medaberet? You're only answering us about the case of Me'uberet. At this point we're in major trouble. Rabatius, anyway. Because, I mean, obviously, if this is what happened here between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, then that means that there are indeed two cases, one in which we're assuming that she was nivellus, and one in which we know she was nivellus. Right? Rabatius is saying that, no, actually, both cases are we know. One was Nogea the child, which itself is a problem, because at the end it says everybody agrees it comes to the child, that there's for sure no name on this. Okay, we'll get to that later, but right now at this point, where they're saying, and what are you going to tell us about the case where she was only Medaberet? So it's clear that Medaberet is not Medaberet. Ravasi was claiming the whole meaning of the mission was that Medaberet is Medaberet. So how then that, they can't say you only answered one of the two cases, and both of the cases were Medaberet, right? Okay, we'll get to it. But we see already where the Gemara is going. So Amara, I'm getting back to the discussion. So Amar Lahem, he said to them, well, let me tell you something. Midaberet, as far as I'm concerned, is the same thing as a shvuya. I don't have this naivety when it comes to sex that you guys have. Omrulo, so they said to him, what do you mean? Shinei Shvuya, the Rov of the Kochavim proves in Barayas, and I understand a Shvuya, that's because Goyim, you have to be Kreshet. But here we're talking about where she's from, she's been embarrassed with somebody. Or Marlon, so he said to them, aye, you naive people. Even the statue in Apotropos Larayas. Once she's alone with a guy, I mean, what do you think? Magic happens, that somebody pops up and saves her from sin. There's no such thing, there's no Apotropos Larayas. Once they're alone, for as far as I'm concerned, it's exactly the same thing. For sure, they slept together. But anyway, to you of the Rebbe, this is clearly saying that there's two cases. One is the case of the Barrett, and one is the case of the Barrett. To you, you're right. Whew, that's bad. By the way, I mean, it seems like there's a very serious piece that's missing from this whole thing. And why are we talking about the issue about the Prutz and Barayas? Why can't they just come straight forward and say, but typically there are some ropes, Ulimetzlah, like a rope chair, that's law. How do you understand? How are you comparing a case of a woman is with a bunch of Ovdei Kochavim, they're all apostle. So if she was nevelous to anybody, it's definitely to apostle person. And over here, the other case was, you want to tell me she was nevelous? Thank you very much. She's nevelous. No, but why should we say she was nevelous to apostle? We're saying most of the people that she would hang around and that she would be nevelous to would be perfectly kosher people. Well, how come nobody even mentioned that? That's a pella, and in fact, it's Bisayele with Yeshua ben Levi. This is a riot to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who holds that Ledivrei Makshir Makshir Afilu Barov Tzulin, Ledivrei Apozel Pozel Afilu Barov Ksherin. This we mentioned earlier, and that the question of the robe is irrelevant to our discussion. So, in other words, what we're talking about is essentially her namonis in terms of Bari Veshema, in terms of Bodekas, in terms of Migo, in terms of a cheskes kashrus, and the question of whether it's rov or not is irrelevant to determining what the din would be here between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Omri Yochanan, now getting to the machlokas that we had, that we mentioned earlier, Rediva and Makshir Bab, what is Rabbi Gamliel? Who is Makshir her? Makshir the Gita. Rediva and Posel Bab, Posel the Gita. Basically, whatever the halacha would be legabi the mother is the halacha legabi the child. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, oh, no. But Dibra Amakshir Ba, Poser Bibita, the only shayla over here was her. But she has a cheskes kashrus. So we rely on her cheskes kashrus. But as far as the child is concerned, the child was born under this cloud of suffix, and therefore we never established a side of kashrus on it. Oh, my Rabbi, my time of the Rebbe Elazar, that's Rebbe Elazar's reasoning. As far as she's concerned, itla cheskat the kashrus. But Bita never got a chazaka the kashrus, so let la chazaka the kashrus. Eisei Rebbe Elazar le Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Elazar asks Rebbe Yochanan the obvious question. How can Rebbe Yochanan say that the divya makshir baz makshir also the Bita if it says the fairest right here in the bright that I just quoted you? Vameh devarim amurim, Be'edut isha begufa, aber edut isha bebita, divyatov vachtuki. I mean, I understand. But how are we arguing even about it? First, the fairish, that the child is a shtuki, which I assume means, right? Shtuki means pasul. That's what shtuki always means, no? My love, shtuki, you pasul. So she's tzula lakuna. No. A shtuki could be kosher. Shtuki could be kosher. Meek a shtuki, kosher. Yes, absolutely. We know the case. Kiddush more. Yomar Shmuel, Asarako Animondin, Upiresha Chadmiyam, Uba'al, Avalat Shtuki. We have 10 perfectly kosher Kohanim. One of them goes and impregnates a girl. We don't know which one. We didn't notice which one. And so we know definitely that the child is a Kohen. It should be kosher Kohen.
We don't know which one.
We don't know which Kohen. No, we don't know which Kohen impregnated this woman. So the Vlad is a Shtuki, it says over there. Now, when you say a Vlad Shtuki, I mean, what do you mean? My Shtuki. You mean shtuki? Remember that the word shtuki is just a word that says shut up. Shtuki means shut up. Well, shut up means that whenever the child goes and says daddy to somebody, his mother says shh. We don't know who daddy is.
Not so loud.
Okay? But, I mean, normally that means that there's some problem in the yichus. So what does it mean over here? Does it mean shtuki that we shut him up if he comes to claim that he is a yoresh of his father? Obviously, we don't know who his father is. We just said the case is we don't know who his father is. He's going to come now to 10 Kohanim, he's going to collect from all of them and shoot them all waiting to collect. He can't collect from anybody. He doesn't know who his father is. So that's obvious. Ela must lean a child like this. Even though he's a Kohen, and he's a completely kosher Kohen, and there should be no problem, that nonetheless, Mishatkin ato midin kuhuna, we do not allow him to do the Abayda, and according to Rashi, we don't allow him to eat Truma. According to other Rishayim, we only don't allow him to do the Abayda, we do allow him to eat Truma. But that's all that it means. But when it comes to Yichus, he obviously is a Kohen, and if he is a she can obviously marry a Kohen. And if he has a she, that she could obviously marry a Kohen in the next generation. There's no chashad whatsoever, because we know that the Zera of the Av is kosher. We just don't know who he is. So this is a special halacha in terms of the Aveda or in terms of Truma as well. And what is it based on? It's based on a pasuk. It says that Pinchas will have a brit kunat olam. Isn't a brit kunat? I mean, we don't expect Pinchas to live forever unless he's Eliyahu. But so what do we mean? What do we know? What do we need? Zaro Akara? Isn't that, I mean, that's a chat? Zaro? It says Lola Zaro? So it must mean Nish Zaro Miuchas Acharav. It's only where his children can be traced back to him. But if the trace breaks down and we can't trace it through someone specific, then the Torah is coming to tell us the Brit Kuna is adversely affected by being unable to trace the Yichus directly. And therefore he cannot do the Aveda. But he certainly, there would be no problem of marrying into the Kuna if he is a she.
And the offspring would be...
Even she herself
would be
kosher. Yeah, because we know who the father is.
Yes, but even though, and still he's not.
He's not.
That's cool. Yes.
Wow. His daughter who marries a kosher Kohen is now Miuchas after the Kuna.
But his son is also...
No.
His son's not.
No, because his son doesn't go back. We don't know where his son came from. His daughter, if she marries a kosher Kohen, is now her child. Of course, it's kosher with the Abayda. Well, that's it. We were mafsik to trace. To trace back to Pinchas.
But his son could continue in the
Shuvah for other Ashkenazi. Right. According to Rashi, not. Because, I mean, what they tell is that this bit of Brit Kunat Olam by Pinchas, is where it says it only in terms of Dinam Abayda. It's not so pashut, because the whole end of Pinchas is the chizik of the kuna with the name of Truma and the chavtal and matnes kuna. I mean, that's how they learn it. That the beginning of Parshas Pinchas relates to the end of Parshas Pinchas, obviously. The whole point over there is the ishur of the kuna.
And this we're not going to let him do.
Yeah, well, I mean, the truth is that the Gemara comes out elsewhere. This is the Rabbanan. It's basically a Chiddush. In other words, now that we've finished being Maimi the Kahuna, that's the whole story with the Kerach and the rebellion against the Kahuna and the Chizuk of the Binim of the Kahuna. Now we're telling you Pinchas is going to continue the elements of the Kahuna. So in that context, we're being very makbid on the whole strength of the Kahuna. No, this is, it comes out also later on, but Sadai, the same thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu is marked, but now I want after these people. So we see there are such things. The Torah does come up with special chumras, like the Yuchas after Kayanim. You know, same thing with the Bnei Eli. There's a Kilkol, and the Kilkol sticks to that. So it's okay, but I mean, the mice is a drama. Okay, gentlemen, it's been nice, and I almost managed to get us up to 7:15. Not quite. Yeah, okay, that'll take it to 7:15.
Tracing is much easier today, Rabbi. Tracing is much easier today with DNA. Let's
talk
about
the doctor. DNA will trace to the Kahuna, but I mean, we know it's traced to the Kahuna. We need to trace to the specific coin.
That can be done
at once. Yeah, that's not to the coin, that's to the father. It's sort of one or the other. Obviously doesn't want to say Rabbi Yochanan because he wants to be Mukil on a Mishnah like Rabbanah. But Rabbi Yochanan might time alone like Rabbi Elazar. Because Sava, Kansava, Chaskat, Betulav, and Imtid Bula, Yeshlak, Tuva, Mana, anyway, in which case, if we were going to Rabbanah, she and he are saying the same thing. Hu kamamana vi kamamana. So ma'ika ben ta'ana l'dibay l'ta'ana vida. So big shalem el Rabbi Elazar. I know the tani tarpe. Chod elafuk in Rami Bar Chana. And chod elafuk in Rav Chiya Bar Avin. Both of which are tremendous chedoshim. As the Mukas 8, he tani in Rami Bar Chama that lo yikir bar ibar kovalo klon. This is obviously, he told us not. And the other Mishnah says mekachtos means you don't get a mana either. It's a complete mekachtos. So it's two very important Mishnahs to kaveh, two very important dinners. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, Tarti Lamali, if mekachtos doesn't mean what it's supposed to mean, and he's following Rav Amram, so there's no point in all Mishnah. No, chodav adiach hakokot Rav Gamliel, chodav adiach hakokot Rav Yeshua. Kamaisa adiach hakokot Rav Yeshua, the avagav digal amem amigo, lamem na basraitza. Lamem na basraitza, adiach hakokot Rav Gamliel, the avagav digal amem amigo, lamem na. Ua medaberet imechad v'yamru la mati voshach ish zeh, ish ploni v'koin. Rabbi Yalil v'Rabbi Eliezer omrim ne'emenet. Rabbi Yeshua emir lo mipion v'choin, el ha'rezo v'cheskat b'ulal v'netinu l'mamzer, ad sh'tavir ha'yal edvarah. Haitha me'uberet v'amru la mati voshach ube rezeh me'ish ploni v'koinu. Rabbi Yalil v'Rabbi Eliezer omrim ne'emenet. Rabbi Yeshua emir lo mipion v'choin, el ha'rezo v'cheskat me'uberet v'netinu l'mamzer, ad sh'tavir ha'yal edvarah. Ma'i medaberet. Z'iri omr So Bishlam is Iri Ani Diktoni Medaberet. Elu Ravasi, what's Medaberet? Bishlam, Kedekhtiv, Achla, Makata, Pia, Varno, Vati, Ava. The Bishlam is Iri Ani Diktoni Tarti, Medaberet, Umu, Uberet. Ela, Ravasi, Tarti, Lamali. What do you mean, Tarti, Lamali? Chadala, Akshib, Ova, Chadala, Akshib, Bivita. Vainich, Lamadi, Ova, Ladibra, Akshib, Ova, Akshib, Bivita. But how about Lamadi, Ova, Ladibra, Akshib, Ova, Akshib, Bivita? They can't become Tommy then, Michael, Amena. Well, Ravasi, Sava, like Lamadi, Ova, Ladibra, Akshib, Ova, Akshib, Bivita. Omerly Rav Papa Labai, Liziri de Omer Maimed Daberet Nistera. Omer of Yeshua, lo mehem. So I thought Rav said, Balkin al Yichud, Eino Svin al Yichud. Does that mean that Rav was going back to Lok Rav Yeshua? No, I feel like I'm Rav Yeshua. Ma'ala subi yuchasin. That doesn't mean you're going to ask a woman to her husband. Okay, next way. Ru'u ha shenichnasa im echad l'seter o l'churva. Okay, now that seems to be, one is just the seter, the other one is the assumption of nivala. And she says, she's even my cousin, Ben Achiabo. It's a good thing they don't know this in Beis Yaakov. They get all those. So that's the oldest excuse in the book. So, Ben Achiabo, because that's basically the same thing as the Mishnah of Midaberet or Mubat. But according to Rav Asi, there's no case of Midaberet, it's Nivela. So what's this thing about the Sefer? Tati Lomali. Choda Katani. Le Sefer de Churva. What do you mean? It says the Sefer Ola Churva, man. Well, Choda Le Churva de Mata, Choda Le Churva de Dabra, but Tzri. For the Ashman, Le Churva de Mata, Baka Makshir, Rav Gam Leo, perhaps Mishum the Rav Kshir Metzla. Ava Le Churva de Dabra, the Rav Sula Metzla, Ima Mori Leila Rav Yeshua. The Ashman, Ova Yahi, Ba'i Kom Rav Yeshua, Ava Ba'i, Ima Mori Leila Rav Gam Leo, Tzri. Zuhe Dutra Yishak Shirala, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Einat Ne'emenet. Well, Marla and Rabbi Yeshua, hey guys, Yatam Odim B'Shuyash Nishpeit, Yeshua Dim Shnishpeit, Yomer Torani, She'inat Ne'emenet, Amro, of course. So, my afresh is Ben Zulazu. What do you mean, my afresh? Zuhe Yeshedim, Zuhe Yeshedim. Omer, no, not true, Afro Zuhe Yeshedim. Chare Kresa Ben Shinea. Amro, well, Rabbi Yeshua, Gekhov and Putsim Arayas, huh? Amarla, Minap Atropos Arayas, double, huh? So that one of them be duty shabby gufa. The duty shabby is standing in a call of blood stuck. Now, can you tell us what the hearts were? My commando, my commando, my commando, my commando. Hey, Shaftan alam uberet. What are you going to tell us about the Midaberet? Alam, as far as I'm concerned, the Midaberet is a shwuya. Rulo, what do you mean? Shiny shwuya, relative to Kachamir, puts in barayotain. Alam, it makes no difference. So I'm not giving his starter in apotropos la riders. Anyway, but Katani, he has started. Midaberet, uberet, obviously two cases. Two of the Rasi, two of them. The table clay does some rope, Suman et Savach Rav Kshir Metzvah. This proves Rav Yeshua ben Levi's contention. Yom Rav Yeshua ben Levi, the Divya Makshir, Makshir Afilu Rav Suman. The Divya Posel, Posel Afilu Rav Kshir. Om Rav Yosel, the Divya Makshir Ba, Makshir Bevita. The Divya Posel Ba, Posel Bevita. Rav Elezer, Om Rav Divya Makshir Ba, Posel Bevita. Om Rav, my time, Rav Elezer. Yishlema Yi, Yitra Chazak Ede Kashis, but Bevita, Les, Na Chazak Ede Kashis. Eisvei, Rav Elezer, Rav Yosel, Rav Yosel, Rav Yosel, Rav Yosel, Rav Yosel, Aval a good isha bibita, the record of that stuki. I assume a stuki means it's possible, no? No, stuki means it's possible. Shtuki. So what do you think shtuki means? I mean, the Shmash Meshatina to me, say, Avin, Shito, me, Avin, Avu, Amano, Elo, Shmashatina to me, Din Kuna, the Tiva, Kabo, Zara, Akalam, Rit Kuna to Lam, Mish, Zara, Mil Kaz, Akalam, Yatza, Zara, Mil Kaz, Akalam.